Mother's Day. We live at a time when there's a lot of conflict about the role of women. I was interested in a flyer. You may have gotten this mailed to you. It's a political flyer. Trump versus women. And what was interesting to me was that I read their agenda, the people that sent this out, and about 90% of what is their agenda conflicts with what the Bible teaches about God and about our relationship to each other and our relationship to God. We live in a confused time about the role of women. And today we honor, as a nation, Mother's Day. You may not realize this, but this is an American institution. I was asking Moak in Thailand what day is Mother's Day, and she said it's on the king's birthday. And since the king just died, there's going to be a change in when Mother's Day is celebrated because they got a new king who was born on a different day. It's an American institution. This lesson is not just aimed to mothers. I had a little section I was going to shoot at the possible mothers-to-be, but they're all off in a youth rally, so that takes a section of my sermon out. That's okay. That's good. But God teaches us some things about mothers that every one of us needs to look at and understand. You know, having a baby is a choice. This is one of the things that I wanted to say to our young people. Not everyone is cut out to be a mother. Getting pregnant is not being a mother. We have a lot of women who get pregnant who don't want to be mothers, don't like being mother, and are not mothers. And the result, those of us that teach in the public school see on a daily basis. So we have to understand that being a choice, being a mother is a choice, but it's an important choice. There is nothing you can do with your life that is more important, ladies, than being a mother. But there are things you can do as a woman, if you have decided not to be a mother, that are still incredibly important. All women should have the attributes the Bible defines as being a mother. But it's not a calling for all. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a good model. I'd like for us to look at her for a few minutes this morning. She was a mother because she was chosen. Mothers today are chosen. Way back in Genesis 3 and in verse 15, God had said, I will put enmity between your offspring and hers. There is a special purpose with a special end involved. And we're told in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that Jesus was without sin, but was tempted in every way as are we. When I get to the other side, one of the things I'm not going to be able to say to Jesus is, you don't know how it was. That's an excuse I cannot use. God has a plan for mothers, for every child that is born. And God has a plan for you. I have 3 points I'd like to make. The Bible teaches about mothers that uses Mary as an example. The first one is that God wants women to be mothers who are spiritual. Now, rather obviously, this is not applied just to mothers. But Mary was a spiritual woman. And so looking to her as a spiritual leader and as an example is something all of us can do. In Luke 1 and verse 30, Mary was told, Mary, you have found favor with God. Spiritual women are quick to obey God. Shouldn't that be true of all of us? John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I wonder if you've ever thought about Mary's response and what was involved to the message that God gave her, that she was going to have a baby, even though she wasn't married. You see, her response to Luke 1:38, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Have you ever thought about that? She's being told she is going to have a child, but she's not married. That was a stigma in that culture that would carry with her and her offspring to their death. She was unmarried, yet with child. Had no support, because women at that time had to depend upon marriage to survive. She was going to be automatically put into poverty. And yet she's able to say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you have said. Boy, look what she was accepting. A pregnancy, an illegitimate child, a life of uncertainty. Spiritual women are women who are obsessed with humility. You know, it's one of the interesting facts is that we don't think very many of us understand the concept of charm and beauty. I looked up these words, especially in the lexicon, because Proverbs 31, in describing the spiritual woman, makes this statement. This is Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. I looked up those three words. Listen to this. Charm. Charm is a trait that fascinates, allures, or delights. A physical grace of attraction with compelling attractiveness. Charm is deceitful. One of the things I say to young ladies when I do youth rallies is you have to understand that if you're pushing for charm, you're trying to attract a man on the basis of your sexuality. Well, listen to the definition. A trait that fascinates, allures, or delights. The physical grace of attraction, compelling attractiveness. Is that what you really want as a young woman? Is that what your goal is? Is that the kind of man you want to spend your life with? The word deceitful. Remember the statement, it fascinates, allures, or delights. A trait, women are obsessed with humility, so it says charm is deceitful. What's deceitful? It means to trick, to not be honest, deceptive, misleading, and not trustworthy. You know, young ladies have to understand, if they're looking at charm, it's deceitful because the way you look at 17 is not the way you're going to look at 71. Turn those two numbers around. You're not going to look that way, and that's guaranteed. It's deceitful. And then the other thing that it says there, not charm or beauty. Beauty is vain. Beauty, the qualities in a person that gives pleasure to the senses. Vain, having no real value, marked by futility, foolish, or silly, undue, or excessive pride in one's appearance or achievements. God wants women who are spiritual. He's not concerned about beauty. He's not concerned about charm. You can go to a charm school, and that may make you attractive physically, sexually. But is that really what you want to advertise? Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments. point is, women cannot be attractive on physical appearance. Spiritual women are women who respect God, who fear God. Proverbs 31, verse 20, the last part of that verse says, "A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." A woman's speech shows her spirituality. You know, instead of talking to young women about going to a charm school, maybe we need to be talking to young women about how to go to a school where they express themselves in a way that is spiritual, in a way that attracts the kind of man they really want. Richard led us through a discussion of Proverbs 7 in our Sunday night class. In verse 21, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk." What do you see on the movie screen? What do you see on the television set? You know, it's interesting to me. I've told this story to some of you before. I had a first-year teacher who was teaching high school kids for the first time. He had a freshman class of kids, girls, and boys. And his very first day of class, one of the little girls in the class used the F word in talking to him. And I asked him, he was just astounded, and I asked him, I said, "Well, what kind of a child do you think this is? What do you think his description of her was?" God wants women who can talk in a way that radiates their spirituality. And this is a tough chore for all of us. Remember Peter in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 73? The Bible tells us after a little while, those who were standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, one of the followers of Jesus, for your speech gives you away." And so what did he do? He cut loose with potty mouth. His speech, the Bible says he called down curses upon himself. God is the only one who we should respect. Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Spiritual women seek knowledge. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is in the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I am so thrilled that our ladies are starting this monthly Bible study. I hope you'll be here next Saturday at 9 o'clock. That's going to be a lot more important than our fishing thing over at LaPorte, but the church at LaPorte's doing this for kids primarily. But what a wonderful opportunity as a woman to share with other women, to talk about the things that are common to women, to grow. The Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Mothers, women are to be Bible students. They need to want to grow. And that's part of maturing as a Christian. The second point I'd like to make is that God wants mothers to be fruitful. And I'm not talking about having babies. I can tell you as a high school teacher, anyone can have a baby. I know there are exceptions. But having babies does not make you a mother. Because the characteristics that make a mother are those that can be responded to by children and by adults in general. Have you ever dissected Proverbs 31? Proverbs 31, talking about the spiritual woman, starting with verse 10. Just very quickly, look at what these verses say. Verse 11, "She has the trust of her husband." That's in anything of value. A spiritual woman is someone whose husband can trust her. Verse 12, "She brings good to her family, never harm." That's a mother. You have any idea how many times as a teacher I have seen mothers abuse their child in front of me? How many times I've seen kids that have been beat up by their mothers? Kids who have not been taken care of, kids who have been left alone while mother looked after her own. desires. In verses 13 through 19, it talks about bringing good things to the family. It talks about the woman being the leader in the family that provides the clothing, the food, the essentials of life. Verse 27 is a mother of someone who is not idle. Let me tell you something. Being a mother is a hard job. It's a hard job. I guess I always knew that, but I've been watching Moke. And as she cares for that little guy that you see trotting around here quite a bit, man, it's 24/7. Moke handles it beautifully. And I have seen an incredible change in this child in the time that they've been with us. I've also seen Cindy's mothering tendencies come flying out in spades. I wish I had a recording of her talking to the kid as she plays with him in the basement. But being a mother goes beyond that. In verse 20, it talks about a mother being active in benevolence. Who's been running our food pantry? Where did that start? It started with mothers. It started with women who were concerned about doing good in this community. We men have supported it occasionally. Some of us have tried to fill in. Every time I do, I get in trouble. Women know how to handle that type of structure because they're active in benevolence. They know how to support their husband, active in civil matters. You know, when Phil passed away and I was floundering around on my own, there were so many things that were happening because I didn't know what I was doing. This morning, we had a kind of a hard day yesterday, and this morning I got up and picked out my clothes. I guess I picked out the wrong clothes. She wouldn't let me wear the coat I had. She said, "That doesn't go together." Well, I don't know anything about that. But that, in a trivial way, is what women are able to do. And verse 23 says, she allows her husband to be active in civic matters. And so we come back to 1 Timothy 10. 2:10, I want women to dress modestly with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. What you wear, what you say, what you do is fruitful. That's what women are about. And I want you to think again about Mary. Mary did not have an easy life. As a matter of fact, did you know that the literal translation of the word Mary is bitter? I don't know whether there was a purpose in that or not, but Jesus was born into poverty in an awkward social position. He was an illegitimate child. When he was a baby, he got rooted up and moved to a different culture. They had to flee to Egypt. Do you know how hard that is? How hard it is to move from one culture to another culture and to see that change, that transition? As some of you know, I'm going to work in a campaign in Colombia in South America at the end of June. And I'm having to be taught, just even though I'm only going to be there for 10 days, taught how you live differently in that culture. Because there are things you do in Colombia that you don't do here. And vice versa. And all of a sudden, this young mother with this baby is rooted out and put into an Egyptian culture that is the opposite of everything she has ever known. But she's fruitful. She's married to a poor carpenter. That was one of the lowest of occupations. She had at least six kids. Matthew 13, verse 55, the Bible says, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" Referring to Jesus. "Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters with us?" You know how hard that would have been? To live in poverty with a husband that is at the bottom of the social ladder, and to still have hanging over your head the fact that the baby was born illegitimately? She had a tough life. And then she sat and watched her son be crucified. But Mary looked to the fruit of what would happen in the future. So in Luke 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's stated over and over again. It's twice in Luke 2 alone, verse 19 and verse 51. And Jesus recognized the strength of his mother. Do you remember what the last thing was that Jesus did physically as he hung on the cross? This is John 19, verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And we're told that from that point on, the disciple took her into his home. And yet what we see is that Mary continues to be active. She is fruitful all of her life. In Acts 1 and verse 14, we read, and they joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Mary was fruitful. And I would say to every woman here today, you can be fruitful whether you're a mother or not. And God calls you to be fruitful. What really brings you satisfaction in life? What really brings you joy in life? I'm near the end of my life. And as I look at those things that bring me the greatest joy, it's the fact that my three kids are all Christians. And they're all active in religious activity. They're active in the church. I have five grandkids. All five of them are Christians so far. That's a choice they will have to continue to make. And what brings me joy is that they are continuing themselves to be fruitful. I'm glad that my wife Phyllis never had to see any failure spiritually in our kids. And that was undoubtedly due mostly to her strength spiritually. Satisfaction comes from having a lasting positive impact on the lives of others. No one on earth comes close to a mother for having that kind of influence. That's a quote from James Dobson, who has written copious material on women being fruitful. Those of you that are mothers who have kids that are active and faithful in the church, God bless you. Your life has been fruitful. But let us continue to strive to bring those kind of values to our kids and to the church. That's one of the reasons I'm excited about this class that's starting. It's one of the reasons I'm thankful that Mandy has got this group meeting, who are made up predominantly of people who are not members of the church, talking about natural ways of raising kids. But you know, that conversation is going to go everywhere as those women share their own struggles, their own problems, their own difficulties. And what an incredible positive influence that is. Mandy's using that part of her life. You know, she's involved in so many things, you need a scorecard. But one of the things that is active is this attempt to reach out in the community and help women realize how to be fruitful as mothers. And the last point I'd like to make is that God wants women to be saved. That may sound redundant. I'd encourage you to read the back of your bulletin, because I have a discussion there about the statement that Paul makes about women being saved in childbirth and what that means. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise according to some people's conception of slowness. He bears patiently with you because it is not his will for any to be lost, but for all to come to repentance. God wants women to be saved. And that passage in 1 Timothy 2:15 says, but women will be kept safe through childbirth if they continue in love, faith, holiness, with propriety. The New English Translation says, but women will find their salvation in motherhood if they never abandon faith, love, or holiness, or self-restraint. And again, let me encourage you, read the back of your bulletin for more discussion of that. But women have an advantage. They have a built-in advantage in what they can do with their children. And I'm so excited. I was thinking this morning during communion It was probably Benjamin that was having such a good time back there. And I thought, what a joy to be in a body of people where there's laughter and happiness and a childlike atmosphere. Folks, we have not had that until recently. Management and Shane have been a breath of fresh air for us. And we have others. Many of them are right now going to youth rallies and meeting with grandparents and what have you. But we have a host of kids here now. What a great joy, what a blessing that is. Because we have women who not only want to be saved, but are willing to use that God-given talent that they have of having children as a vehicle by which that can be done. Developing spirituality and productivity are important, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us in these things. Mother's Day. Great American institution. But we should be celebrating Mother's Day every day. And realizing that the teaching that God's Word gives us about the importance of living life as women are called to live life applies to us all. You have a talent no matter where you are in life. You have a blessing. But one of the things that's important about this is that women can't do it alone. Ladies, you need God's help. You need the indwelling of the Spirit. You need the support of families like this church family. You need to be a Christian. You need to not only have your own salvation, but be able to rely upon the strength that the teachings of Jesus bring us and that God's Spirit brings us. And if you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, we would urge you, you know, this is a good day for you to change that. To tap into the greatest power available to man and to live your life fully as God called you to live it. So if you in any way are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and respond to the invitation as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?